Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us a special guest I've been looking forward to interviewing for a long time, Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we're going to be talking about vaccination and what you should know. Now, I had a friend of mine whose child, a grandson, was born this last week, and almost in the recovery room, certainly in the nursery, within 2 hours of birth, they'd already given the hepatitis B vaccination. The next day, they were going to go ahead and give all sorts of other vaccinations. They told the parents, you can't take the child out of the hospital unless they have all these vaccines we want to give them because we want to protect your child from disease. Well, Dr. Cave, what do you think about this process of immunizing children just a few hours after birth and giving them so many vaccines so soon after birth?
I, of course, don't agree with that at all. I don't think we ought to be giving the hepatitis B vaccine to babies, period, unless the mother is hepatitis B positive, which we've always done. But I think giving a vaccine like that to a child that's 1 day old or 2 days old, I think it will hurt the immune system. I don't think the immune system's ready for anything like that.
Yeah, and
we gave it through the 90s with thimerosal in it as a preservative. It was, you know, even a bigger problem.
And, of course, supposedly they've taken the thimerosal out of that, but then they told us all that we all had to get vaccinated for influenza, and every child should be vaccinated, and older people. And weren't there toxic doses of thimerosal in that influenza vaccine?
Yes, absolutely. And children have to have, the little ones have to have 2 doses of that. I couldn't believe that we came out with that recommendation in the midst of the thimerosal controversy.
And, of course, what's wrong for our listeners out there who don't really know? What's wrong with thimerosal?
Thimerosal contains ethyl mercury, and ethyl mercury is a powerful neurotoxin. We're treating right now over 2,000 autistic children that I believe have been injured through the thimerosal and the vaccines. And these children lose speech, they lose eye contact, they're socially isolating themselves. And these are children that were fine in the first year of life and usually check out somewhere during the second year of life, lose speech in a regressive manner. So we're looking at autism now in 1 in 150 children, where it used to be 1 in 10,000 children many, many years ago.
And, of course, the government has almost acknowledged that there are dangers to thimerosal because, of course, they've suggested it be taken out. Of all the regular childhood vaccines, they just happened to leave it in the influenza vaccine. And then, of course, the administration tried to get a special bill passed with the Office of Homeland Security so that no suits could ever be brought against Eli Lilly, which had used something they knew was neurotoxic. Just because it was a lot easier to make your vaccines using the thimerosal than to do what was right. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, and do you know that that was repealed because the parents marched in Washington and took these children up there with them?
And I think it really shows that we can have an influence.
Yes.
We can even, of course, keep something that the Bush administration was intent on getting through from being getting through if we apply ourselves. Well, our special guest today is Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we're going to be talking about vaccines, and you need to have the information because not all vaccines are bad. But the way they're being given is bad and is being harmful. And of course, some of the great medical advances have been vaccines. Some of the worst tragedies have been vaccines. So we're going to be exploring all of these issues in just a moment here, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our special guest this afternoon, Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we're going to be talking about vaccines. And Dr. Cave, you are a practicing physician, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And where do you practice?
I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right, fine. And you've written extensively on the subject. So why don't you sort of give our guests sort of an overview of how you view vaccines. Is there a place at all for giving vaccines to children?
Yes, I think there is. I just wish that we had safe vaccines, or at least proof of safety studies. And I have a problem with giving vaccines on the day of birth or right around birth to children whose mothers are not hepatitis B positive. I think if we give the vaccines fewer on one day, give them a little bit later in the infancy, possibly starting at the fourth month. And I wrote a book on how to do this more safely. And in the book, I have the schedule starting at about 4 months. I don't give all of the vaccines that we normally give on one day. I start with Hib and IPV, which is polio, and then I give DTaP on its own day in another month.
Now, that's diphtheria, the tetanus, and the acellular pertussis, right.
And then we go on month by month trying to just space them out so that it's not too hard on the child's immune system, giving some cod liver oil as vitamin A and some vitamin C to help protect that immune system. And then when we get to the child over 1 year of age, I hold the chickenpox vaccine. I don't give it to a one-year-old because I have a problem with that one, too. I give the MMR split out as measles, mumps, and rubella.
You give them separate?
Yes.
Now, what about giving the mumps vaccine to girls? Is this necessary?
It's probably not necessary to give mumps vaccines to girls.
Or even to give a rubella vaccine to boys.
Yes, we give a rubella vaccine to boys to protect the moms in case they're rubella negative.
All right.
But if we could give the rubella vaccine to girls, say at 12, 13 years of age before they're becoming pregnant, that might also solve the problem. I think there are a lot of other ways that we could do it. The way it's done right now is probably not the best way.
But of course, it seems that this is a great social experiment. The planners say, well, you know, we want to see what's going to happen if we give everybody hepatitis B in the nursery, and if we give all these early. But it seems to be there's very little common sense. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree there's very little common sense used. And, you know, they've told us that the mercury has been taken out, but in many cases...
Hold that thought for just a moment, Dr. Cave.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Stan, and our special guest today is Dr. Stephanie Cave, who practices in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She's written a book on vaccination, and we'll probably be wanting to get that and carry it because I think it's important. At least parents have some sort of a guideline as to what needs to be done. And Dr. Cave was just saying we've been told that they've taken the thimerosal, the ethyl mercury, out of the vaccines. Have they done that, or are they not being entirely truthful?
They've taken some of the thimerosal out, but in some of the vaccines, it's been left in as a sterilizer because they've made the vaccine, the larger dose batch with it, and then it's been put into single-dose vials. There are a couple of brands that are thimerosal-free, and there's one that has been thimerosal-free through the whole period of time.
But you see, the average parent doesn't know, and the average doctor, well, he doesn't know either. He simply goes along with what he's told by the CDC, and I've been to the CDC, and... when I was active in the AIDS battle, and we've got some people there who I really have no respect for at all. They're not honest. So how can the average individual find out if there's thimerosal in the vaccine that the doctor wants to give, and what should they do if they find there is thimerosal there?
Well, the package insert in the ingredient should contain thimerosal if it's in there, even as a sterilizer, and I would tell them not to give a shot to the child if it contains thimerosal.
You would definitely say don't do it.
I think we have more risk doing it than not giving the shot at all. And the fact that we have brands of the vaccines, of every vaccine that we need to give, that are thimerosal-free, there's no reason for us to risk that.
But, you know, the average person is never going to ask the doctor to read the package insert. I know I went to the doctor recently who wanted to give me a blood pressure medicine. And, you know, he was telling me all the advantages of the blood pressure medicine. Now I'm 75. I've had systolic hypertension of about 150 for about 50 years. And he's telling me how wonderful this is and how it's going to save my life. I read the package insert, scared me to death. The cost benefit ratio may be 1%, you know, I might live maybe 2%, I might live a little bit longer if I took the medicine. That certainly wouldn't counterbalance the possibility of all the complications that can come from medicines. I don't think, do you really think doctors read the package inserts? As a physician, would you say that's accurate?
No, the doctors do not read package inserts. And my son came across this. He took his daughter into a pediatrician. And the pediatrician brought out a 10-dose vial of DTP and told him that this was preservative-free and that he should give it to his child. And he said, well, that's a 10-dose vial. If that's preservative-free, I don't want you sticking a needle in there 10 times and giving one of them to my daughter. And she said, well, you know, you have a point there. Let me get the package insert. So she got the package insert and realized it said thimerosal and was real surprised. And then brought out a single-dose vial and said, I'm positive this is thimerosal-free. The drug rep told me that this was. So my son looked at the package insert, and sure enough, it had thimerosal as a sterilizer. So she just told him he would have to buy a whole batch of thimerosal-free himself to get one shot from it. And, you know, was pretty abrupt with him after that.
Well, but I think that she's not going to have to take care of an autistic child.
No.
That's up to the parent. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be responsible for yourself and your children. Because unfortunately, when you challenge the doctor, and I know I've been a doctor, there's an ego problem built into being a physician, and especially when you're a surgeon. That's just a little less than God, or maybe it's a little over God, I'm not sure. But of course, I say that with tongue in cheek. But you've just got to say, I'm responsible, and if there's a problem, unless you want to accept full responsibility for any complications, then let me make my decisions for what happens to my child. And I believe, now we were told that they'd taken the thimerosal out. If that's really not true?
They've taken the preservative out of some, but they still have thimerosal in many vaccines.
And of course, they've left it in the influenza vaccine, and then they told us we should give it to our children, with up to 250 times the accepted dose for one shot, and that is criminal activity. And the fact you're not hearing about that from Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, I suggest they're getting an awful lot of money not to reveal but to conceal the truth from the American people and from the parents. And I think that autism is one of the most tragic things that could happen to a child. Don't you feel that way, Dr. Cave, treating these children?
It is quite tragic. But I'll tell you, the children are turning around with therapy. We're doing metabolic treatment with them, restoring the nutrients and pulling the metals out. We had two yesterday that had totally turned around.
Oh, that's wonderful.
100% normal.
Now, are you actually going ahead and giving them certain medicines to pull the mercury out, to wash it out of the system?
Yes, we use DMSA, which is over-the-counter as well as being prescription, and it's approved by the FDA to pull lead from children. It also pulls mercury. But we see a lot of metals in these kids. Once they're given the mercury and the aluminum through the vaccines, their liver detoxification systems can't act anymore. They're out of chemistry, so they hold lead and arsenic, antimony, tin. We see all kinds of metals in them. And we concentrate on taking these out with the DMSA.
All right, fine. So are there doctors who are specialized in this? Because, you know, I think for the average parent, if you have an autistic child, you don't know where to turn. Do you have a website that where you can make recommendations or where you can advise people as to what to do? Because most people aren't going to be able to get to Baton Rouge.
No. Well, the Autism Research Institute in San Diego is the group that we're working with right now doing this protocol. And we have several hundred physicians throughout the country who are doing it. So you can get a list of doctors from them. And I think it's autismresearchinstitute.com.
All right.
And if not, you can call them in San Diego, and they can give you the list of doctors for your area.
All right, that's the Autism Research Institute in the San Diego area. So, and here in California, at least we have a pretty good grasp on this, because autism is a reportable disease, and it's gone from 1 in 10,000 up to either 1 in 250 or some places even 1 in 125 children now are autistic. And of course, how many other children will have, permanent mental problems, whether it would be ADH or ADD or decrease in their mental capacity, even though they're not frankly autistic. I know Dr. Mark Geyer. Are you acquainted with Dr. Geyer?
Yes, I am.
And he says that it may be up to almost one child in five as a result of these toxicity that's produced by the vaccines. Do you think, is that pretty far out?
No, Dr. Geyer actually went into this from the other side thinking he was going to disprove this whole theory. And when he got into looking at the information in the VAERS reporting system, he found that there was only one conclusion that could be made, and that was that thimerosal had started this whole autism epidemic. He also said the MMR can be involved, and this doesn't have thimerosal in it. But he's thoroughly convinced, and he's published at least four or five times this year in major journals, and has given us some pretty solid information. And what was interesting, he actually proved that there was a 2.48 times risk of neurological damage in a child who received 62.5 micrograms of ethyl mercury before 3 months of age, and this was exactly what the CDC had found in a study they did in 2000 that was not published.
Now, they knew that the thimerosal was toxic because they had one group of children that had taken DPT with thimerosal and another group that hadn't.
Yes.
And they actually concealed that truth because, after all, think of all the lawsuits against Eli Lilly.
Well, I think they wanted to say the vaccine program, too, but that CDC study was published finally this past November. And when the study came out, the conclusions were very different from that original study. So Congressman Dave Weldon has written a letter to Dr. Gabberding, who's the head of the CDC, to try to get some answers about why the same data reveals two different outcomes.
Because the old idea that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And if the American people knew of all the damage that has been done by the vaccine program, they'd lose confidence in them. And I believe, as you do, that vaccines have done a great deal of good.
Yes.
But, of course, I wish they could be honest with us.
Well, I wish we could have some safe vaccines. And I think we need to hold the industry responsible to give us safe vaccines.
Well, now, how do you feel about the polio vaccine? Because it's my understanding that we had the Salk vaccine, then we went to the Sabin vaccine, which was a live vaccine. Now we've gone back to the Sabin vaccine, which is a killed vaccine. Have you any thoughts on why they changed? And, of course, how effective is the Sabin vaccine? My understanding is nowhere near as effective as the Salk was.
Well, the oral vaccine was probably more effective, but since 1979, the only cases of polio were through the oral vaccine. So it was taken out in 2000 when we realized it was actually giving more polio than we were seeing through the wild virus. But what happened with the injectable vaccine back in the 50s and 60s, it was contaminated from the rhesus monkey kidney that it was grown in with SV40 virus, and that virus has been found in tumors.
In other words, this was a cancer-producing virus, and they just didn't bother to check it thoroughly enough, and they contaminated up to 90 million Americans with a cancer-producing virus from a monkey?
Yes, and then they changed in the 60s to green monkey kidney, and when they changed to green monkey, they were trying to get away from the SV40 virus, but what they did was to transfer the cells of the polio plus the viral cells from one monkey to the other. So the green monkey ended up, we think, with contamination from SV40 virus too.
And of course, we got the viruses from the green monkey as well. It's the cytomegalic virus, and there's some certain questions as to whether that may be hazardous. Have you looked at all into the cytomegalic viruses we got from the monkey, green monkeys?
We see if we test these children for cytomegalovirus, the majority of them are positive. They've had an infection at some point. They're usually not infected at the present time, but they have at least antibodies that show that they've had an infection.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a few moments here with Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we'll tell you how to get hold of a copy of her book. And, of course, do you have a website, Dr. Cave?
I don't as yet. We're working on it.
Well, there's so much to do, and especially when you're practicing medicine. I know how hard it is to do things on the side, which is why I had to give up the practice of medicine, because I think that getting the truth to the American people in some respects may save an awful lot more lives than I ever did practicing medicine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Stephanie Cape. Tape set, genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000. Alimax.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were telling you about a little earlier about the four tapes that we have. It's called the A New Order of the Barbarians. And Dr. Day had heard a talk given by, Dr. Dunnigan had heard a talk given by Dr. Richard Day. He wasn't the director of the Planned Parenthood. He was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. But this is one of the most devastating four-tape sets. Now, we actually have this in a special four-tape set along with a complete transcript of this, and I think you'll be fascinated if you have the opportunity to listen to these four tapes, because there is a group who really runs things behind the scenes. They're not answerable to government at all, and they are going to use medicine for certain specific purposes. They feel there are too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. You want to hear these interviews. There are four of them. Three of them were done by Dr. Randy Engel. One I did. And then, of course, script. When you understand this, you will understand the degree of evil that is working within a certain aspects of society today, among people who have no human compassion as you and I would for human suffering or death. And then, of course, we have so many other videos, and if you have not yet sat on The Secret Government, has an interview with Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, and, of course, then my interview with Norman Dodd, who was director of research for the Reese Committee, and I interviewed him back in 1980, and where he tells about how he was able to demonstrate that they were planning for the war, the First World War, back in 1909, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was planning for the war. How he went to Rowan Gaither at the Ford Foundation, who said, "Mr. Gaither, do you know what we're doing? We're working here under a presidential directive to so alter life in America that one day we can be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union." And then in politics, our four-tape set on The Secret Government and our four-tape set on secret societies, must listening, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, doctor, and again, that telephone number, 1-800-544, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you're interested in getting our four-tape set on Secret Government, our four-tape set on or our four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, where, of course, the description of a talk that was given by a member of this New Order of Barbarians is laid out beautifully, and you'll never hear anything like this from other sources. Well, our special guest this afternoon, Dr. Stephanie Cave. Dr. Cave, you have a book. How can people get copies of it?
The book is What Your Doctor May Not Tell You, about children's vaccinations. They can get it on Amazon if any of the bookstores around. They can get an office if they call. We'll be glad to send one.
And what would the number be?
225-767-7433. We do have a website. My little daughters-in-law run a little vitamin area in our shop, and that's where the book is sold. And they do have a website. It's www.vitashop.net.
That's www.vitashop.net.
Uh-huh, and it's S-H-O-P-P-E shop.
All right, fine.
.net.
Well, now, what about the Hib vaccine, supposedly to prevent Haemophilus influenza? Is this a good vaccine? Do we have any studies on it to really show it's effective? Are there any dangers associated?
Well, the Hib vaccine has actually decreased the numbers of Hib meningitis. I think in that respect it has been good. The peak for that disease is around 6 months of age. So if I think starting that at around 4 months would be okay. But we've had some studies with that vaccine that are kind of disturbing that have hooked it to possibly insulin-dependent diabetes in little ones. And I had a friend this year whose 15-month-old was diagnosed with insulin-dependent diabetes a couple of months after receiving the vaccine.
Well, you know, many people are concerned by the skyrocketing rates of type 1 diabetes, by the skyrocketing rates of asthma, by the skyrocketing rates of allergies among our children, and the vaccines are all designed to have an impact on the immune system, to hypersensitize the immune system. Do you think there could possibly be a relationship between the rising rates, skyrocketing rates almost, of type 1 diabetes, and then, of course, these immune diseases, autoimmune diseases? Certainly, we know there seems to be little question there's a relationship to autism.
Yes, I think the hepatitis B vaccine can give an autoimmune push. I mean, I've seen it with children. Also, the metals in the vaccine can produce autoimmunity. We get a shift from one type of cell, from a Th1 lymphocyte to a Th2 lymphocyte predominance, and when we do that, we can create autoimmunity, and that can happen through heavy metal. So I think the metals and the vaccines themselves can actually push toward autoimmunity.
Well, of course, we talk about a risk-benefit ratio. In other words, is the benefit outweigh the risk? And what is your response when people ask you that?
I guess it depends on the individual vaccine. I'm having a hard time right now as we uncover a lot of the problems with the vaccines, trying to work out, you know, more on the benefit side than the risk side. If we could clean up the viruses in the media that they're grown in, take the metals out, do some safety testing, I think we'd have some safe vaccines. And if we gave them, you know, maybe one at a time, or at least not 10 on one day to a child that's not one day old, I think the vaccine program would survive and would do well and do what we need it to do.
But of course, anybody who talks like that is immediately demonized and marginalized because, of course, they have an agenda. They are so much smarter than the rest of us. They know what needs to be done. But it looks to me like they're really experimenting with our children. Would that be an exaggerated statement, or would that be true? Do they really know the long-term implications of what they're doing?
No, I don't think they do. And the fact that they don't demand animal studies on vaccines for biologicals, I think, is a problem. So I think our children are probably the biological study for the vaccines.
And, of course, what really bothers me is so many of these are grown in animals, and then we begin to pick up all the animal viruses as well. We never had this problem until we had the vaccines.
Right. And the cow serum, it's not tested commercially before the vaccines are grown in it. And then with the vaccines, the live viral vaccines like the measles, mumps, and rubella, I think that's grown in avian serum. And if they try to kill viruses in there, they'll kill the measles, mumps, and rubella. So, you know, we've got a real problem in that area.
And so they just give our kids the avian viruses, and, well, they hope it's not going to be harmful. But, of course, the question is it? Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. When we return, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we carry something called Phonopoly, and Phonopoly is a wonderful board game, and it's designed to teach your children, your grandchildren, or perhaps even you, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. One of the big problems we have today is they have a program in our schools to dumb down our children intentionally with a look-see type of educational system as far as reading is concerned. They know it doesn't work, but of course they don't want you to know it. And this is why our children do so poor in comparison with children from across the world. Well, Phonopoly, in 16 hours, you can counter all the harm and the terrible harm they've done to the minds and prestige and self-confidence of our children. Phonopoly works, and it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, played just like Monopoly. And when you buy it from us, we throw in a couple of extra books. Most of these programs are $400, $500, $600. This one is $139.95. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We carry the Big Berkey products, and of course, if you have a Big Berkey and you're an area with fluoridated water, we think you ought to get the post filters, or you have a Berkey light, you need the post filters to get the fluoride out of the water, because it has toxic qualities, and certainly it's being used as a means of fertility control, and if you doubt that, you need to get the very scientific studies we have. So the Berkey products we carry, we also carry Miracle 2 soap products, and Miracle 2 soap products, we can't make any medical claims for them. We'll tell you that we've used them for a long time. We wouldn't be without them. There's a soap, a lotion, a gel, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizing solution, very alkaline solution. Many people say it helps them with their upper and lower intestinal tract. You just have to try it and see if you like it. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Again, that number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we have us on the line right now from Allentown, Pennsylvania, Roger. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Hi, Roger. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, thanks, folks. Two questions if you have time. First, you lay out kind of a grim picture of mom and dad having to be like 24-hour-a-day experts and exercising eternal vigilance over those vials at the office.
Now, the thing is that they listen to these programs, get Dr. Cave's book, read the things, and just ask to read the package inserts. I don't think it's that difficult, Dr. Cave. Do you think it's difficult with the background that we've given the people today to know what to do?
No, not at all. And if you see the autistic children that I see every day, you'd want to read the package inserts.
Well, that wasn't so much my question as, is there even a single one vaccine that has survived a true risk-benefit analysis, or where the anecdotal evidence of benefit is so overwhelming? Because it's hard to...
Okay, the question is, are there any that we really have evidence that they've really been beneficial? And I, Dr. Cave, how would you respond to Roger's question? Do you think that the vaccines have done a great deal of good?
I think they've done some good. I think diphtheria, probably, if you want to pick one that has really helped a lot to get rid of a disease process.
And certainly tetanus. I mean, when I was in Africa, practicing in Africa, we always had somebody in the intensive care unit with tetanus, and this is a horrible disease, old lockjaw. So But
well, tetanus too. But if you could get tetanus without thimerosal, it would help.
Of course, and this is where the problems are, and this is what we have to address, Roger, is to understand that you have to make sure there's no thimerosal in it. I have nothing against tetanus toxoid and diphtheria. And how do you feel, Dr. Cave, about the acellular pertussis now that they've finally been willing to give a better pertussis vaccine? For years, they insisted the other one, the original vaccine, was good, and everybody knew it was terrible. I don't know why it was that they insisted on using that for 20 years when they had safe vaccines over in Japan. How do you feel about the acellular pertussis vaccine?
I think the acellular is a much better vaccine than the cellular one, but we sent the whole cell vaccine off to third world countries, which I think was a problem.
In other words, we're using inferior vaccines on the poor black people over in Africa, is that right?
Well, on the children that aren't necessarily up to par nutritionally because they can't afford the acellular. But the acellular was in Japan for many years before it was here because it was we didn't switch because it was so expensive to switch to the acellular, but it's a whole lot safer than the cellular.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd far rather put out a little money, more money, and not have an autistic child to burden the family and society with. Did you have another question, Roger?
Well, is there any move to produce vaccines that might, say, only survive refrigerated for a few months versus loaded full of whatever, typically heavy metal preservatives, now that can survive in the hot sun for 5 months?
All we need are single-dose vaccines, and they're sealed, and they don't need to be preserved, but for some of the live viral vaccines, they have to be refrigerated.
Okay, thank you. Anything else, Roger?
God bless.
Thanks. You know, one of the things I've heard, and I believe it was Dr. Geyer who made this remark on one of the programs we had him on, that he really believes that the reason they have so much thimerosal in is that they didn't want to spend all the money to really produce these sterile vaccines. So they went ahead and used some rather sloppy methods of production, and then they threw in the thimerosal to sterilize them.
Right.
Do you think there's any possibility that he's right?
Possible, yes. I can't really say that I know that for sure. But if they're using it as a sterilizer, it was actually put out of use in 1982 for contact lens solutions. And at that time, they said it was a very poor preservative because it didn't kill many bacteria, and it was very toxic. And then in 1991, it shows up being injected into newborn children.
And I think that the tragic situation as far as the use of thimerosal is concerned is that it was in the vaccines. They knew it was neurotoxic. There were no studies that showed that it wasn't harmful, or maybe one study. 5,000 studies that showed it damaged the brains of our children. And we hear all the time about, we can't be eating a tuna fish or swordfish because it's got mercury in it. And yet, of course, they actually, in the recent vaccine that was used during the recent flu epidemic, according to one report I've read, and you correct me if you think this is wrong, Dr. Cave, they pointed out that children between 6 months and 3 years of age were getting up to 235 times the legal dosage or the maximum dosage of mercury. They were getting in one shot, one time, in the name of fighting influenza.
Well, for influenza, it has 25 micrograms, which would be 50 times safe for an infant. I don't know, about 235 times safe.
All right. So your feeling is it's about 50 times, in other words,
safe.
50 times too much, or?
For a little one.
For a little one.
Yeah, for a six-month-old baby, maybe.
All right. So anyway, there was basically toxic doses for small children.
Yes, and then the small child has to have two doses of the flu vaccine in order to have it really take and cover the child.
Now, the other thing that bothered me is that they were insisting on giving it to pregnant women. In other words, this was the influenza vaccine that they knew had the mercury toxicity, the toxic mercury in it. How do you feel about giving vaccines to pregnant women that contain mercury?
I would never. Okay, anything like that. I think in the package insert, it also said something about the fact that they can't guarantee that it doesn't cause fetal defects.
But, of course, the average mother isn't going to read that when the doctor comes in and says, this is what you need because we're here and we don't want you to get this terrible flu.
Well, and we're keeping pregnant women off seafood because we don't want them to have mercury poisoning, and then we're injecting it into them after 12 weeks. So I really think that's a big problem.
Well, I agree with you, and I share your concerns. And are you being able to get your message out across America fairly effectively? There's so few doctors who are willing to stand up and fight the system, or at least to point out that some of what we're being told just isn't true.
Well, I travel extensively. I last 2 years, I guess, since the book's come out, I've traveled about 3 weekends out of 4 talking about this issue and about autism. I've settled down a little bit, but we had a conference this past weekend in New Orleans, and we have another one coming up next weekend, and there'll be 3 or 4 in the spring. We have a large group of physicians who are out there trying to get the message out. And, of course, the parents, the support groups are wonderful.
And I think that this is really, if we're ever going to make a difference, it's going to have to be the parents. It's going to have to be the doctors who are willing to take the time to think about this and to challenge what they're being told by the Centers for Disease Control. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Who is this?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Ray.
Hey, Ray, it's good to have you with us. You have a question or comment?
I just want to know, is Gorbachev being sponsored by this country?
Oh, I'm sorry. You must be listening to a different radio program.
Different one?
Yeah. We play two programs at the same time. And, of course, we're talking about vaccines. If you'd like to call back after the program, I'll be glad to talk to you. Okay, Ray?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That sort of snuck in there. We actually do simulcast of last night's program, and then this afternoon's program. There's a reason for it. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Stephanie Cave on this issue of vaccination. But of course, I believe that God gave children to parents, and they are responsible for the health of their children, not their doctor, not the Centers for Disease Control, and not the Federal Drug Administration, which seems to have a propensity to authorize the use of vaccines without thorough clinical trials. Haven't we seen that on a couple of occasions, like the rotavirus vaccine?
Yes, and we realize that one of the physicians on the committee that mandated the rotavirus possibly owned a patent on that vaccine.
Well, now,
so
wouldn't that be
a problem too?
Wouldn't that be a conflict of interest? Wouldn't that be dishonest?
Yes, and I testified in a congressional hearing about the unnecessary risk that we're taking with vaccines back in 2000, and Congressman Dan Burton brought that up, and he said he thought that was a conflict of interest, and he was told by one of the administration that this is not illegal. And they said that this would happen, you know, that there were other vaccines where doctors owned the patents on them and also sat on the committee to mandate them.
To mandate them. Now, it would be one thing to recommend, but to mandate means you have the force of government behind you, forcing this to be utilized by people across America, and they're going to make a fast buck on it. Well, I think Dan Burton's absolutely right. And I don't care what you can say about morality. There's nothing immoral about it. I think it's immoral, and I think the average individual across America would believe that, even if the politicians and the bureaucrats don't. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes. And Dan Burton's been in a position to really give the parents and the doctors on this side of the autism issue a lot of help. He has an autistic grandchild. His little grandson was autistic after several vaccines that he got at 15 months of age. And his granddaughter, I think, cardiac arrested, he said, after the hepatitis B, and I think is epileptic today. So those are his only two grandchildren. And he said during one of the hearings, he said, how many vaccines do you think my daughter's going to be giving in her household till this is settled? He's held probably more than 7 or 8 hearings on the vaccine safety.
And I think that the great tragedy is you're not reading about this in your local newspaper or your local magazine, and Rush Limbaugh isn't telling us about it. So how are the people going to learn about what's really going on? Are there organizations they can go to get additional information over and above what you cover in your book?
Yes. Well, the Autism Research Institution, for sure. There's also, they have Autism Societies of America. The National Vaccine Information Center is a tremendous area.
That's Barbara Lowe Fisher. Right.
And they have a website that is very active for vaccine information. they've been probably at the forefront of in this country for giving information to parents and to professionals.
Well, do you think more and more parents are aware of the potential dangers of the vaccines?
Yes, we're getting phone calls and emails all the time from parents who want to give vaccines, but they just want to know something about the safety of them. But we have a lot more activity in that area this year than we ever have in the past. And I think as these studies come out, UC Davis got a grant last year to study the effect with the autism to see if it was truly an epidemic in California. And their studies have come out, the outcomes are out there, and they said absolutely they feel like this is an epidemic and that it had nothing to do with doctors being better able to diagnose it now.
And I think that you're talking about, first of all, autism, but then you're talking about a spectrum of other diseases having to do with damage to the central nervous system, damage to the brain. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Geyer, in one of his articles that I've read, talks about one child in five being damaged. Would that be way out of bounds, or do you think that there might be some truth to that, at least to some degree of it damage?
If he's into the studies right now, and I believe the man to be very truthful, and he told us that he has not published some of his studies yet, but he said that they're going to show a lot higher incidence of neurological damage than the prior studies did.
So you don't have to necessarily have this horrible, horrible picture of autism, but you can get the more subtle changes. Maybe you just drop 10 degrees or 20 degrees in IQ.
And the ADD children, I think, are part of this whole spectrum. We treat the same, the ADD and the ADHD children the same way. They have metal. They have the metals that the autistic children do. And I think the genetic openings are there. They may just have a whole different biochemical system or different genetic openings.
Are you able to help some of these children with ADD and ADHD?
Oh, absolutely. Well, if we can get the metals out of the children, they do really well and normalize some of this cellular biochemistry.
Well, I think that is really sort of exciting. And now I've known in the past that they've been doing a lot of work with nutrition. Is nutrition part of this, or is it primarily using these various compounds to wash the metals out of the brains?
It's both, but we do a thorough nutritional workup, and the children have very low amino acids, minerals, B-complex, vitamins, and vitamin A is low, and we just put all of these nutrients back in at the cellular level and then start working with the child so that their liver detoxification chemistry can be revived and they can start helping us themselves to take the metals out.
And then we
come in, after we've already put nutrients in, we come in with the medications to help pull metals.
And then you are actually working then with this Autism Research Institute on this. Are other doctors working on this, so you'll have a valid study and determination of whether this is working or not?
Yes, we have several hundred physicians across the country. We give courses in how to treat the children. Twice a year we have big groups where we teach maybe 300 physicians at a time, and we have what we call mini courses that are taught. The one last weekend in New Orleans was a mini course. We had about 28 or 30 physicians who took that course. And these are physicians who want to find out about how to treat metabolically and use the nutritionals to treat, and they find out how to pull the metals. And it's interesting because many of them are parents of autistic children.
Well, I think that it's a tragic situation, but so many of us aren't really concerned until it's our own child that's involved.
Yes. We have now three scientific sessions a year. We call them think tanks, where we sit down with biochemists and toxicologists and immunologists and physicians in all walks of medicine, and we just go into a 1, 2, or 3-day session, closed-door session, and literally just, pick each other's brains, and we offer the clinical experience for them. And some of the researchers offer a lot of information for us in the biochemical line, and they're taking samples from some of the children and actually telling us what's happening with the chemistry. It's very exciting.
Well, now, actually, aren't there certain children that have more of a predisposition as far as reacting to the mercury load than others? Would there be a certain genetic tendency along this line?
Yeah, and we think that we're beginning to see some of the genes involved, but there are probably many genes, 20, 25, we don't know any number, but the genes will set up for this to happen, but I think you need the environmental trigger for it actually to happen.
All right, and that environmental trigger then would be the thimerosal in the mercury that giving them toxic doses.
Yes, the thimerosal and the environments we live in. We have many more toxic chemicals in the environments, and these children just, their livers can't handle all of this.
All right, well, we're out of time, but our guest has been Dr. Stephanie Cave, and the telephone number, if you'd like to get the code of the book, 225-767-7433. That's 225-767-7433. Dr. Cave, thank you so much for taking time from your busy practice to share your wisdom with our listeners.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Okay, this is Dr. Stephanie Cave, and I certainly hope you've enjoyed our interview with her. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about some of the other items that we carry here at Radio Liberty, which we think would be so important to help you to better understand what's going on. Now, we have a 4-tape set on the vaccines, and it goes into the background of vaccines and really how you should make your decisions about what to do. There is a cost-benefit, or I should say a risk-benefit ratio, and I believe that there is a place for vaccines. I don't believe we should do away with all of them, but I think the way they're being given today, the fact that they're putting toxins in them, and I'm specifically of thimerosal, and they're still there, and the doctors don't know it, and then they came out with this recent insistence that everybody gets this flu vaccine. The vaccine wasn't even for the right organism, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't more than 30 or 40% effective. And if you look at the people who died, an awful lot of them had actually taken the vaccine, and it didn't do a bit of good. But they had to do something with all those 87 million doses of vaccine. And you saw how they used them, mass media here in America, to create an idea of shortage. You better get down and get your thimerosal-laced shot there at the local flu clinic, and go to your local doctor, and cost you $30 or $40 or $50 or $100 to get your shots. You better do it, though, or you might get the flu. And a lot of people took it, and sure enough, they got the flu. And maybe it did do some good, I don't know, but I'm not convinced that when you create a vaccine for a different type of organism, you're really going to be able to target what's going on. Anyway, if you'd like to get our tape sets on vaccines, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and you need to get our 4-tape set on mercury, because it goes into the background of autism, directly related to the vaccines. In my interview with Dr. Geyer, call 1-800-544-8927, ask for the 4-tape set on mercury, ask for the 4-tape set on vaccines. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there in the listening audience who listen to us, who believe that you're going to get information here you're not going to get elsewhere, to help us as we reach out across America from sea to shining sea with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. If you'd like to know more about joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free copy of our December newsletter, which goes into the background of why the Supreme Court hates God, why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools when it had been there for almost 200 years when it was taken out back in the 1960s, what motivates the Supreme Court justices who are coming up with these ridiculous decisions now, which are gutting the very foundation of the document that the Supreme Court justices have sworn to uphold and protect from all enemies, domestic and private. And I'd like to suggest that some of our Supreme Court justices are enemies, domestic enemies of our Constitution. If you want to understand what this is really all about and the spiritual forces at work, we'll send you our December newsletter free of charge. Of course, maybe you'll want to subscribe to it, but that's your business. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for a free copy of the December Radio Liberty newsletter. Now, this will be actually available at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can track our newsletters back into the 1996, 1997 levels. And we encourage you to pull down those newsletters and read them, because there's a wealth of information there to give you an overview of what's really going on in the world today. So we hope that you will pull down our website at radioliberty.com. And then, of course, read our newsletters. You have our permission to copy them and to get them out. Then, of course, you can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day on the various networks we do, a Genesis network and other networks. That's the archive programs you can listen to, or you can listen to live of Radio Liberty. If you, 5 hours a day, you won't get anything accomplished, but at least you'll learn a lot, and hopefully you'll be able to then help us to begin to educate others. And then we hope you'll look at our various products we carry, because that is one means by which we subsidize ourselves. And we do carry the big Berkey products. And if you buy them through us, well, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video. And if you live in a fluoridated area, you need to get the special filters, they call them post filters, to take fluoride and other toxic metals out of your water supply. And the post filters are specifically designed to take the fluoride out. And fluoride is a toxic substance. It has a profound impact on the brain. In fact, in studies in China, they found that you could drop 10 to 20 points in an IQ with heavily fluoridated water, just like we're fluoridating the water here in the United States. But, of course, one of its most effective results of its use is a decreased fertility. And that's why, of course, they wanted to use it so widely in America to decrease the fertility rates to too many children. But they don't want to tell you that. And, of course, it also may very well have effect on the growth of the child. But then, of course, we can always blame that on the vaccines if there's a problem, can't we? Well, of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com and look at the various things that we have there. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will decide that you're going to pray for America, because you'll come to realize we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. If you haven't seen the new videos we're carrying, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, Diaprax in the church, how they're taking over the church with the church growth movement and changing the message and the music of the churches, Iraq, the Untold Story, a video we have, and it comes with or without a syllabus. All of these are available, and so much more from Radio Liberty. Give us a call, and then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.